for the gift of expressing ourselves and expressing our faith to you, expressing our love and our devotion to you. And we thank you specifically for this wonderful time that you have given us to be able to commune with your word. God Almighty, I pray that as I speak to your children this morning, that their hearts will be receptive, that you will open their eyes and their hearts, their inner man, to the true and the inner riches of the beauty of your word, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we share, Lord, I pray that you would use me as a vessel for the glory and for the honor of your holy name. Lord, we bless you and we exalt your holy name, for this is our sincere prayer this morning. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, let everybody say amen. Let everybody say a better amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Please have your
amen.
Seats.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. I am so, you don't know the excitement that I have. You have no idea of the excitement that I have this morning as I stand before you. This has been a prayer for many days, many years for me to step into this land. And I am so grateful to God for giving me the opportunity, you know, to stand before you this morning. My name is Isaac Macharia. I am Kenyan by nationality, Ugandan by assignment, Congolese by choice. Hey, I have it's a triple citizenship. I am born in Kenya, raised in Kenya, and I minister in a church called Trinity Chapel, Kampala, which is a church plant of Nairobi Chapel. But what is interesting is that the church that I lead is 50% Congolese. And I think 20% Gomaville. Of the 50%, we have a lot of our young people in church who are from Gomaville. And the best thing about the people from Gomaville, they don't just come and sit on the pews. They come and serve God. You don't know the excitement that I have when I see Jemima leading the people of God in worship. We were with her for a couple of time. I was very sad when she told me, Pastor, I'm going back to Congo. I said, oh, I will pray that you come back to Kampala. But when I see her ministering to God, my heart is excited. Amen. Thank you so much, Reverend, and the church leadership, my brother Muhindo, for the connection. You know, the Bible says faith without works is dead. But also what I have realized is also that faith without networks. Amen. And so it is through the relationship that we share with people like Muhindo that I am able to be with you this morning. And I am grateful to God for the opportunity to be sharing the word of God. I can assure you I am not a boring preacher. And I don't preach to boring congregations. Hallelujah. In Trinity Chapel, Kampala. And so I need you to respond. If you need to respond, if you need to say amen, if you need to stand up and say, I receive that, please do. Amen. So today we are going to have a conversation on discipleship. On discipleship. And it's not a new word to many of us. We probably have heard the word in many other places, discipleship. If you want to remember the sermon that I preached today, I'm going to be talking about up, in, out. Somebody say up, in, out. It's going to be easier for you to try and remember the sermon. Up, in, out. In fact, I want to teach you a song so that you are able to remember. Is it okay? Up, in, out. Aha. And I know you guys have a good band, so let me have the band guys right there. All right. So it's going to be easy for you to remember. Up, in, out. That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. All right. So let me do the full one. Let me just do the full one and then you can follow. Up, in, out. That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. Up, in, out. That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. I don't know. what key is that, but the guys will sort themselves out, eh? Right? All right, are we ready? One, two, three, go. Up, in, out. That's the way. Don't spoil my song. No, please don't spoil my song. This is an own composition. Please don't spoil it. All right? Up, in, out. That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. Up, in, out. Come on! That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. Up, in, out. Woo! That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Let's read a scripture that will guide our conversation this morning. I'm reading from Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to verse 13. Luke chapter 12 to verse 13. I am reading from the New King James Version, but you can follow whichever version you have, and I'm sure the screens are also going to project it. The Bible says, can we stand for the reading of the word? Thank you. Hallelujah. The Bible says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. This is Jesus. And continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And he came down with them. Verse 14. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Verse 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. You may have your seats. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about discipleship. And this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you a threefold dimension of discipleship. But before I get into that, let me give you a simple definition that is going to guide our conversation this morning as we talk about discipleship. What is discipleship? In my simple understanding, in my simple explanation, discipleship is the growth of a believer into the character and the competencies of our Lord Jesus Christ. Discipleship is your growth, is my growth in the character and in the competencies of our Lord Jesus Christ. Character and competency. Those are two keywords that will help you to understand discipleship more. That if I am growing in my discipleship journey, then I am growing in twofold. One, I am growing in the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am becoming more and more in an increasing degree like my Lord Jesus Christ. I am beginning to like the things that he likes. I am beginning to embrace the things that he embraces. I am beginning to love and be attracted to the things that attract him. I am exchanging. There is a certain exchange when I come to the Lord. My sinful nature and the things of the world begin to shed off. All of a sudden, they begin to taste rotten and bad. Why? Because I am moving closer to my Lord Jesus Christ. I am growing in the character of my Lord Jesus Christ. The things that my Lord loves, I also love them. The things that my Lord enjoys, I enjoy. I am growing in the fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, which the Bible says is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I am growing in my faith. I am growing
I am becoming more. I am thinking more. I am talking more. I am behaving more like my Lord Jesus Christ. I am growing in my character. It doesn't mean that you are perfect, and if you are struggling with impatience, that it's a flip of a thing. Sometimes it will happen. But it basically means I am moving more. I am becoming more and more and more. If you are coming from the world, it basically means that the things of the world that used to attract you, drunkenness, and the scripture will outline them very well in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19. It basically begins to tell you the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the flesh. What manifests in your life when you follow after the things of the world. It talks about drunkenness. It talks about a world there called lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is uncontrolled fun. Eh? In street Swahili, in Kenya, we call it happy. Anapenda happy. You know, club hopping. Moving from one place, moving from one relationship, moving from one thing to the other, you don't get satisfied by anything. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord begins a word in you, a work in you, in your character. And all of a sudden, worldliness, worldly music, worldly affairs, all of a sudden they don't taste well. There's just something that is happening in your heart. Growing in the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, is growing in the competencies. You are able to do the things. What is competence? Let me just give you a simple one. Competence is the ability to do something successfully or efficiently. The ability to do something sufficiently or successfully or efficiently. That you are able to do that which God has called you to do successfully and sufficiently. And efficiently. You are able to operate in the place of your gifting, because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, each of us should use whatever gift you have received from the Lord to faithfully serve others. Every one of us that comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ, God begins to deposit gifts within you, gifts that are supposed to be used in the kingdom of God. None of us is giftless. I said none of us is giftless. Every one of us has something to offer. The only problem is that some of us have a gift, but we are so engaged in looking at what other people have, and we think that what we have is not good. What we have is small. What we have is insignificant. What we have is not valuable. But God is not giving you a gift so that you compare your gift with another person's gift. God gives you your gift so that you can use your gift to faithfully serve the people of God. And so, let me tell you, in case you think that your gift is insignificant and small, because you see, in every setup, there are gifts that are going to be very, very, very frontline. They are very visual. They are very seeable. You know, people can see them. Others are behind. For example, in the setting of a church, the choir, the pastor, the people on the pulpit, you know, seem to have the limelight. I mean, can you imagine I have 25 minutes to myself on this microphone, and you guys cannot go anywhere. You have to listen to me. If you do not remember many things about this service, you will remember the preacher, because you saw him. The choir, they sang. But can I tell you something? For us to be seen in front, hey, there are people who are not seen. For this microphone to work, there are people who came here early and they are not seated here. You will not see them. For every gift that is in front, there are many that are actually behind that are pushing it. Hallelujah. If you think that your gift is small, have Kiswahili kidogo. Ushawe gongwa hii kidole ndogo hii, akaka hapa. Umebeba vyombo unavipeleka jikoni. Alafu ukagongwa na meza. Ako kakidole na venye ni kadogo hata akaonekanangi. Hata ukienda manicure na pedicure usamangi sugua ako kabisa. Eh, because akaonekani. It is not seen. But I'm telling you, my friend, when that small finger is hit, everything stops. Apo unasimama tu apo, ile kiti iko karibu unakaa. kwa sababu kale kakidole kadogo kamegongwa. That is how your gift is significant in the kingdom of God.
And so we are growing in the competence, in the character, and in the competencies of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So we read a story here, and Jesus is in the beginning of his ministry. He has just begun. And the Bible says that he went up to a mountain and continued all night. This was a personal kesha, prayer kesha. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is just about to call disciples, and he calls them, and he has conversations with them, and I'm sure he's charging them, and he's telling them, this is why I have called you. This is what I want us to achieve. But after that, they calm down. The discipleship journey that we are talking about is threefold. There is up, there is in, there is out. If you are following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then there is a threefold journey. There is up, and up is your relationship with God. Up is your relationship with God. Up is your relationship with God. I said up is your relationship with God. In is your relationship with other believers. Is your relationship with the people that you're saying, we are on a journey of faith together. We are going to heaven. We are going to spend eternity with God. The Bible calls them the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Ecclesia is a Greek word which means the called out ones. Wale ambao wameitwa na wameitika. Mimi niliitwa 2004, June 16th, Wednesday at 2 p.m. The Lord said, Isaac, nikaitika, nikakuja, nikaingia kwa kanisa. Muhindo aliitwa siku yake fulani, he was called and he came in. Another person was called. All right. Another person was called into the, every one of us has been called, and we all responded at different times. When we come in, we join what is called the body of Christ, the church. And we have a responsibility to minister to each other in. And then we have out, and out is our relationship with the world. There is a world out there that is dying in hopelessness. People are going to hell. People are in depression. People are on their way to hell. We have a responsibility to reach out to them. I said we have a responsibility to reach out to them. That responsibility is exclusive to the church. The nation does not save people. Politicians do not save people. Big, good organizations do not. That responsibility is exclusive to the church. It is the church of Jesus Christ that has been given that mandate. And so even as we talk about up and in and out, up, remember, up is your relationship with God. In is your relationship with other believers. Out is your relationship with the world. Think of it as a triangle. Just think of it as a triangle. Up is God. On your right is in. And you're right. And that relationship must flow. If it is not flowing in one of the dimensions, there is a problem. And I'm going to be highlighting that in a short while. So up, in, out. That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. Amen? In Luke chapters, in the scripture that we have read in verse 12, the Bible says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus Christ, before he began ministry, he spent time with the Father. And even in his course of doing ministry, we constantly see this narrative. Early in the morning, he went to pray. Early in the morning, he went to a solitary place to pray. There is a constant and a fresh relationship between the Father and the Son. Every single time, Jesus is speaking and seeking the approval and seeking the guidance of the Father. And that is up, and that is you and I. We cannot be children of God if we do not have a relationship with God. In fact, we cannot be effective in whatever we are doing if we don't have a fresh. I said fresh. Not a Sunday thing. This is good because this is corporate. But this should be an expression of what happens to us every other week of the day when we are alone.
What we do on Sunday should be what we do when we are alone. We have personal times of prayer. We have personal times of meditation. We have personal moments of reading the Word of God. And so app must constantly be refreshed. How do you keep your app alive? How do you keep your app fresh? By two things. One is by devotion, and two is by discipline. What is devotion? Devotion is a personal resolution to obedience, irrespective of the circumstances. That I am fully devoted to God. I am totally sold out to God. I have given my all. I am fully committed. Irrespective of the things that may be moving around, I am totally committed. Number two, the disciplines, spiritual disciplines. We connect. God has given us channels by which we connect with Him, and we stay spiritually alive. Because if you do not feed your spirit man will be redundant. Prayer, word, fasting, meditation, solitude. Those are disciplines that will help you to grow in your relationship. And Jesus demonstrates them very well. Jesus had a vibrant prayer life. Jesus knew the Word of God. Jesus fasted. Jesus took time to be alone with God. It's called solitude, where you just go into the presence of God and you enjoy doing nothing in His presence. I said, Lord, I am just here. I have not brought my needs. Hello? I have not brought my needs. I've not come to tell you we need this deliverance. We need this. We need this. No, no, no. I have just come to enjoy myself in your presence. Up, devotion and discipline. And then in verse 13, the Bible says, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. He called disciples. Even Jesus Christ himself, who was the Lord, who was the Son of God, did he have the ability to save the world without others? Come on. Did he have the ability? Did he have the ability? Could he do it without others? He did, but he chose not to. He calls 12 to himself. And for the 3.5 years or thereabout that he is doing ministry, Jesus is demonstrating to his disciples what it means to love one another. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be a believer and you do not belong to a church. This thing of believers moving from one place to another. Leo uko Gomaville, the other time you were in Goma West, the other time you were in, what is the place we went yesterday, Ngangi? You are moving from one place, this Sunday there, another Sunday there, revival meetings here, Kesha here, camp here, mission there. Where are you? Have you ever seen, Muindo, have you ever seen a maize seed planted in one garden? And then after 3 days, it decides, this garden is not good. Here I am not getting enough sunshine and water. Let me uproot myself and go into another garden. And then and then in that garden, it stays for a week. You say, this is good. This, my fellow maize are doing well. And then after a week, it feels, no, even here, it's not very fresh. Let me uproot myself. Let me go to another garden. Here there is more sunshine. Here we have water. Have you ever seen anything like that happening? You can't be fruitful. The scripture says in Psalm 92 verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Well, those who are planted, be planted. But when you are planted, have communion with other believers. Be part of smaller groups. Be part of a serving groups. Because in the in dimension, two things are happening. One is care and concern. People are able to care for you. Should anything happen, people know you. In Acts chapter 2, there is the constant narrative of what is happening in the early church. People are being ministered to. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 42 to around verse 47, the scripture says that all believers were together. They sold their possessions and brought into the apostles' feet, and people were ministered to accordingly. No one lacked. And the Bible says, and because of that, the Lord added daily to their numbers. Let me tell you, church, when we love one another genuinely, according to John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. He said, love
one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The Bible says God added to them daily. Because you know, one of the deficient things in this world is love. People don't know how to be loved for free. Care and concern is able to be given to you. But number two, community. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. The Bible says, and let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some have done. But let us come together and encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. How is your inn? How is your fellowship with fellow believers? Are you part of a small group? Are you part of a cell? Are you part of a serving team? Are you part of a fellowship, of a smaller fellowship, where people are able to care for you, where people are able to, you are able to love them, and you are also able to receive genuine love and genuine. Don't be a lone ranger Christian. Don't be an island Christian who just comes to church after the grace. Whoosh, see you again on Sunday. Up and in. And finally, is out. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And the scripture continues to say how some were healed and others were delivered of their unclean spirits. Ladies and gentlemen, after we have come to church, and after the Lord has saved us, we have come to church, we have found genuine, loving, caring, warm people who love us and who we love. And it's a good environment, it's a wonderful environment. After that, please let us not forget that there is a dying world out there. And we must go out and reach out to them. Because even Jesus, after having a wonderful time with the Father on top of the mountain, and calling the 12 disciples to himself, and having some good, you know, talk with them and wonderful time, he tells them, listen, guys, we need to go down. We need to go down. There are people there that are sick. There are people there that are paralyzed. There are people there that are dying. There are people there that are tormented and need deliverance. We need to go and minister to them. How is your out? How are you, in your small way, reaching out to those that do not have a relationship with this? Are you concerned about your friends who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you share the gospel? What do you do about it? You want to go to heaven alone? What are you doing about your family? Let me suggest to you two things that you can do for you to be an effective, for your out to be effective. One is excellence and ethics. Where you work, the things that you do, do it so well such that they will be attracted to you. But you know very well it is not you. It is the God that is working in you. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Let your light, it is your light. Hello? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds. It is your good deeds. But glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light, it is your light and your deeds. Hello? It is your lights and your deeds. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven. Where you work, where you go to school, don't be in the category of people. When the company is talking about incompetence, you are in the list. When students are being harassed because they copied exams, you are in the list. When in the neighborhood things are happening because neighbors have been gossiping against one another, people have been having conflict, you are in the list. No! Ethics and excellence. Be like Daniel, who, irrespective of working in a very hostile environment, made sure that everything that he did was excellent. It was in line with what God wants it to be done. And the scripture continues to say in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, that leave such, let me read it in the New Living Translation. I think it gives a it says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. your ethics and your excellence. If you're in a space where you don't have to be shouting every day, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord in this office, because some offices, your employer did not employ you to evangelize. Eh? Huh? Your employer did not employ you to evangelize. He employed you to work and bring profit to the company. So some of our working environments do not allow that. If they don't allow that, then be impeccable in the way you do your work. Hallelujah. And even though they may say, oh, these people who are Christians, your work will speak for itself. Your work will speak for itself. They might say this, they might say that, but you are punctual. You give your reports on time. If you're a student, you do your assignments. You're not the kind of guys who the lecturer has to follow you 2 weeks after the assignment is due. I say, no, Pastor, you know, I had gone for a mission. No. Let's not hide behind those things. And number two, evangelism. Evangelism. If you can share it with opening your mouth, please do that. Please do that. Please do that. Let me say this in closing. If you have, because I told you that threefold discipleship model needs to be consistent. If you have two and you lack one, there is a problem. If you have one and you lack two, there is a problem. Because it is possible. You can have a very good app. You pray. You praise. You fast. 25 days a month. You are always in fasting and it's good, it's fine. But you do not have a fellowship. And you do not evangelize. There is a problem. You can have a good in. You can have a very good people in church like you. You're a good guy. You're a nice sister. People love you. They like being around you. But you don't spend time with God. And you don't spend time telling people about Jesus Christ. There's a problem. Let me give you just two of them. Or maybe three. If you have up plus in, but you do not have out. Even as a church, you are a cozy church. Up plus in minus out is equals to a cozy church. What is a cozy church? A cozy church is like a club where we are just cool and we are okay, we are fine. We don't do missions. No. Missions. No. Jesus has already saved us. We are okay, we are comfortable, we bounce. You know, we bounce. Yeah, we're just a cool guy. We are the coolest church in town. You know, guys know us. Yeah, we are, you know, Gomaville. We have an English service, you know, I think. We are a cool church. You don't evangelize. You come, you pray, you worship, you do all those things. You have nice music, you have nice programs, but it is up. And then you have nice fellowships, but you do not reach out to the world. You're a cozy church. And you're a cozy believer. You're okay. You're just, you know, swag. You got swag for the Lord. Yeah, Jesus swag. No. Up plus in minus out is equals to a cozy church. Up plus out minus in is equals to a chaotic church. So figure out a church where people are prayerful, where people worship, where people fast, where people do all these kind of things, and where people go for missions. Today they are in Butembo, the other time they are in Kampala, the other time they are in Beni, they are sending mission teams, they have a hospital, they are doing all these kind of things, but they do not reach out to one another. It's chaos. You know why? Because every believer will always be coming up with something, what the Lord has told me. Pastor Festo, you know, I believe you have been in ministry for a while. There are always these Christians who God speaks to them on behalf of the church and not the pastor. They always have a word for the Lord for the church. And I keep on asking, if I am the pastor of the church, how can God bypass me and give you a word? Every Sunday, Pastor, can I see you for a minute? This is what I hear the Lord saying. Every Pastor, can I see you for a minute? The Lord is saying, the other Sunday, Pastor, can I? I was praying and the Lord told me, chaotic. There is no order. Now, am I meaning that God should not speak to you? No. Please, if the Lord speaks to you, please bring the word. But there is order in the house of the Lord. A church that has up and has out, but it doesn't have in, where members are not cared for, is a chaotic church. A church that has in plus out but minus up is a carnal church, is a fleshly, is a worldly church.
People care for one another. People know where people live. People care for one another. When anything happens, the fellowships, good, fine, thank you. And then we go out for missions. We tell people about Jesus. But we do not cultivate a personal relationship with God. We are relying on our strategies. We are relying on our flesh and our thinking and our wisdom. We do not consult God. It's like, God, we have gone. You find us there. Yeah, we have gone for a mission. You find us. It should be the other way around. God, we are going for a mission. We are not living here unless you go with us. Unless you go, unless you say, let's go, we are not going. But some of us, we do missions, we have already gone. I say, hey, and where is the Lord? Wait, have you seen the Lord? Have you seen the Lord? Hey, it should not be a church that has up plus out, that has in and out minus up is a carnal church. But a church that has in, a church that has out, and a church that has up is a Christ-like church. A Christian who has a good up and has a good in and has a good out is a Christ-like believer, because that is what the scripture we have read is painting. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with the world. Up, in, out. That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. Up, in, out. That's the way to go. Up, in, out. I will follow Jesus. Father, we thank you.